Sunday morning lessons, we have recently been looking at this idea of living a life of giving. And as Christians, we know this is a life modeled after the life of our Savior, who gave through His ministry and, of course, gave Himself for us on the cross. But tonight I'd like for us to turn our attention to a few words from the Apostle Paul, who by the Spirit addresses matters pertaining to giving. And he was talking, of course, about in this particular context the giving that needed to be done, that the Lord's work might continue and be able to be accomplished, that which is a part of the Christian assemblies when we engage in this particular act. But he addresses in this particular chapter the attitude of heart, the disposition with which giving should be done. And this is 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So beginning in verse 6, he says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." So just stop right there for a minute. Think about these two verses, verses 6 and 7. He gives a comparison here that we can see in our minds, the one who goes out and sows. Well, you can only expect to reap according to how much you sow. Everybody knows that, right? If you just sow a few little seeds in a space 4 by 4 feet, you know, that's going to yield only so much. But if you sow in great abundance and it covers multiple acres, you know you're going to have a much more bountiful harvest, all things being equal. He says, "He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Now he's asking us to reflect upon our giving as we reflect upon the end result, or the blessing, the final analysis of your giving, which is the reaping. You sow, but there's also the reaping aspect of it. And we as God's people understand there are many different ways in which we can sow, in terms of not only physical things, material things, money. Like the early church, they gave possessions or sold possessions, gave the money. They, in that fashion, were sowing. And then the reaping comes, as we know from what Jesus stated in His Sermon on the Mount, that you're going to lay up treasure where, if you're spiritually minded? You're going to lay up treasure in heaven. And that is a reflection of where your heart is, that it's set on spiritual things, that you're in tune to what really your Christian purpose is all about. That we, yes, might be blessed richly with things, but those things are things that came from God. He gave us the talents to be able to work to achieve them. He blesses us with opportunity, prosperity in different ways, but it all comes from Him. And therefore, we need to think about how that in truth giving is really a matter of returning to God what is His, but it also is a means by which God tests our hearts. God doesn't need Himself what we have, because it's all His. And He could, of His own will, bring about things providentially and accomplish purposes that are in accordance with His will, but the means by which He has expressed His desire to do that is through the church. Therefore, He teaches us, you need to think about giving, and giving with the proper heart, and giving out of a heart of compassion. You see needs, you react to those needs. But again, what's at the foundation of it very, very much matters. It's not just the giving, oh, I did my giving, or the amount of the giving, I gave a huge sum. It was, how did you give? How is your heart? One of the things he speaks about here is just urging us to think about this from a practical standpoint. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. But then he addresses in verse 7 the heart behind the giving. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. So he allows us freely to make that choice, right? You remember in Acts chapter 5, the giving of the husband and wife, Ananias and Sapphira, and how that they were free to give, and free to give as much as they decided they were going to give. Verse 4, while it remained, Peter contended with them, him, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? In other words, you didn't have to sell it to begin with. And then even after you sold it, you could choose how much you wanted to give. That was in your, according to your free will, you could do that. And so we have the choice to purpose in our heart how much we will give. Now, certainly we have instruction from Old Testament times to the current times that we're reading about right here in 2 Corinthians, first century times, that giving was something that God expected, that giving was something that you see people giving a certain percentage of and even beyond. You don't see really anybody giving less than 10%, but that plus was what people gave. You even have the example of the widow who gave 100%. She gave the little bit that she had, and she outdid basically the wealthy men that were giving around her. She gave out of a very generous heart. But he says here, then making this important point, that you're not to give grudgingly. Literally in the Greek, this has to do with giving out of sorrow, pain, grief. So you don't give and it's giving, oh, I just, why do I have to give this? I shouldn't be having to give my money. I work hard for my, you know, whatever the mindset is. Don't give grudgingly or of necessity. I have to do this. This is what Christians do. Well, I got to write this check out. You know, that's a mindset that is like, I want to keep this and I don't want to give. And what good does that do if we give of that kind of a heart? But what? Instead, the final few words of verse 7, for God loves a cheerful giver. Why should you not give grudgingly? Why not give of necessity? Because what God loves is a cheerful giver. Do you remember when the tabernacle was being planned? And there was the call for all of the items that were needed. The gold, the various components that were going to be used to make the temple, the cloth, the precious metals, various things like that. And the people started to give. And they gave to the point where it was realized we have way more than we need. And they went to Moses and, you know, you need to tell the people, stop giving. What a great problem to have. But these people were glad to give and were very generous in their giving. And, you know, when we think about the church is the body of Jesus Christ, its mission is that of seeking and saving the lost, and our money is going to do that and accomplish God's will, then it ought to stir within us a desire to make a difference in this world, in the lives of souls, and in joining hands with God. Because really, that's what you're doing. Fellowship. What does that mean? Joint participation. When you give of your means, you are fellowshipping one another in this body, but also God, because you're working together with Him. You're participating together with God to accomplish His will. And in so doing, you're laying up treasure in heaven. God loves a cheerful giver. We need to have this disposition of heart each and every time we give. And we're not talking only about when you reach into your billfold or you write your check for Sundays, but there are occasions all throughout our lives where we can and we should give with the same disposition of heart, cheerfully, not grudgingly, to brothers and sisters in Christ who are in need. And again, it's not just money. It's compassion. It's identifying with their struggles. It's encouragement, whatever the things that might be needed. These are things to grow in, to remember, to awaken ourselves to these needs, and then to begin to make a difference in these very special ways of giving. And the impact that they have is great upon people's hearts. And when you start giving in this way to those outside of the body of Christ, think about the impression you're making for the church, glorifying God and opening hearts to important words, God's word, that can change their lives forever. Giving is good. Giving is God's way. Giving is the way of Christ, who did not come down from that cross. Giving is the way of our brothers and sisters in Christ in the first century, and it is to be that which we continue as the body of Christ to do, and to do with the proper heart. because there are so many that can be blessed and should be blessed by our efforts in the body and outside of the body when we will give as God has taught us and with the heart that He shows us is characteristic of His people. As you think about the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, reflect on the fact that He was given for you specifically. Because all of us have sinned. You need, I need, the forgiveness that Jesus' blood accomplishes. And the only way to access that blood, of course, as we know, is through God's plan, which involves the act of baptism, right? Baptism is where you contact the blood of Christ. Without baptism, there's no forgiveness of sins because there's no washing of those sins. And we're not talking about the water getting rid of your sins, but rather in that act of baptism, that's where God then applies the blood of His Son to your soul, and you are clean, and you are forgiven of all the past wrongs that you have done. And if even after a child of God you stumble in sin, that blood continues to cleanse you as you go to God and seek out His forgiveness. But God's plan starts with belief, faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, turning away from a life of sin and acknowledging your faith in Jesus Christ, and then that washing that cleanses, makes you a part of the family of God, gives you hope, something to live for, even to die for. But tonight, as you reflect, where are you? Are you in the saved body of Jesus Christ? Are you in need of doing something tonight? Because we can help you with that, or we can study further with you for that matter. Or we can help you to return to the fold, pray for you, strengthen you, and help you to become what God wants you to be, a very faithful and strong and loyal child of His that is ready to spend the rest of your life in His cause doing good. If you need to come tonight, we can help you. We'd be glad to do that as we stand and as we sing.